There's a sense of urgency to the season after the Epiphany. As our collect for the day commends, give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ. Unlike other seasons of the church year, seasons like Advent and Lent, perhaps, the season after the Epiphany doesn't call for contemplation or reflection, but action. In what remains of this season, the gospel we have been invited to pay attention to is Mark's. That pairing couldn't be any more perfect. Any preacher, indeed anyone who's been attending the Episcopal Church long enough to hear a handful of sermons on his gospel, knows that euthaos, immediately as the NRSV translates it, is one of Mark's favorite words. Euthaos appears twice in today's reading, 8 times in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, and 42 times in the gospel as a whole. The King James translation of the Bible, I think, catches the spirit of Mark's tone better than does the NRSV. Hear this. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and straightway he called them. And they left their father and went after him. And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. After astounding people with his teaching, straightway Jesus' fame began to spread. The words in Mark's call narrative are sparse, but they're compelling. I love how they sound in Greek. Euthaos means straightaway. Aphiemi means to leave or to forsake. It also means to forgive. Akalutheo means to go after. Jesus calls and straightaway they forsook their nets and went after him. Mark is already dropping hints as to what fame would eventually bring to Jesus. Many will go after him, but only to get him, to hang him. But it's not Lent yet, and staying within the context for the season after the Epiphany, hearing Mark's story, we might wonder, what was so compelling about Jesus that commanded such an immediate response from those fishermen? Why did they respond straight away? Context is everything, right? First century Galilee, the setting for the first half of Mark's gospel, gives us a really, really good clue. In the year 14 of the Common Era, Caesar Augustus died. A man you know named Herod Antipas was a tetrarch in Galilee, and Tiberius was the ruler of Rome. To earn Tiberius' favor, Herod was hard at work building a new capital city, one he named Tiberius, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. A city whose primary purpose was to regulate the fishing industry, to put it fully under the control of the Roman Empire. At the beginning of today's story, we learn that John had just been arrested. Antipas also built himself a palace in Galilee, that place being the location where John the Baptist would be beheaded. 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, the Sea of Galilee is a large freshwater lake. It's also called the Sea of Gennesaret, Lake Kinneret, or Lake Tiberias. It's the lowest freshwater lake on earth, low-lying, located in a rift valley. The Sea of Galilee, as you know from the Gospels, is prone to storms. as serene as this scene in Mark's Gospel might hear on a first reading, under the surface, this is not Garrison Keillor telling a story about Lake Wobegon. During Herod's rule, the local fishing industry in Galilee was being restructured to benefit the urban elite throughout the Roman Empire. Fish were salted or made into paste, sauce, and exported to Greeks and Romans settling in Palestine. The once local fishing industry had become state-regulated. Fishing leases were controlled. Fish products were taxed. The leases, the taxes, and the tolls were exorbitant. The roads, harbors, and processing factories marginalized and impoverished. Formerly self-sufficient fishing families like the Zebedees mentioned in Mark's Gospel. Do you feel where we're going? Desperate times call for desperate measures. Immediately he called them, and immediately they followed. The ready response of Jesus' first disciples was very likely an act of desperation as much as it was a leap of faith. And the words, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," they're probably more prophetic than pastoral. Here's why. While fishing for people is a phrase associated with the soul-saving work of evangelism, its biblical roots in the Hebrew Scriptures are far more edgier. In Jeremiah, Yahweh sends for many fishermen to catch those who have polluted the land with idols. Amos warns those who oppress the poor and the needy that the days are surely coming when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. So Mark's story of the calling of Jesus' disciples to become fishers of people isn't an altar call. It's more like Martin Luther King joining with sanitation workers in Memphis, or Cesar Chavez uniting immigrant workers in California, migrant workers in California. Si se puede! Jesus called and the response was immediate. When Simon and James and their brothers, Andrew and John, forsook their nets and followed Jesus, they left what little economic security they had and the social fabric of family ties that previously might have sustained them. As I read this, as I think about this, I think about Enrique's journey. Migrants jumping on trains. When push comes to shove, you do what you have to do. And I'll admit to you now that I don't quite know, in hearing Mark's story this way, what kind of action God might require from people like us in this season of action, in a time when we pray that we can readily answer the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim the good news of God's salvation. But we all know we're living in desperate times. Our political system is broken. Demonization, polarization, castigation are words that aptly describe our current public discourse. 700,000 DACA recipients live in fear of deportation. We live in the age of climate change. Hashtag me too. So where do we begin? Where does it end? seems like it might be easier to stick with the familiar, the status quo, the comfortable. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stay in the boat. Hope for the best. But surely God wants more from us than that. For all people, desperate times lead to desperate measures. For people of faith, desperate times call for a deeper, more profound, a more prophetic act of witness, of faith and witness in response to the gospel. In our customary time of silence, in response to Mark's gospel this morning, perhaps we might meditate on those things that are immediately within our power to change. What needs forsaking? What needs letting go of? What needs forgiving? What in our lives demands our immediate attention? Jonah walked 3 days across Nineveh and the people repented. If only we could be so lucky. Surely the changes that we are called to make are not a matter of taking sides or convincing those who disagree with us that we are right and they are wrong. Surely that change doesn't begin in the life of another or in this or that system, but only within our own hearts and our own lives. So help us to respond to your call, O Lord, straight away.